We are delighted to be together this morning. We're thankful that each one of you is here. We do have a number of visitors with us, and every last person in this room is special. Special because you've been created in the image of God. He has intended for you to live in this world, to prepare yourself to spend eternity with Him and to glorify Him while you're here. And so that makes us all important to Him, and we're glad that we can be together this morning to do what He intended for us to do in creating us, and that is to glorify His name. Thank you for being here and being a part of our worship assembly today. This morning I'd like to talk to you about the truth that sheep need shepherds. Disciples of Jesus are often described as sheep. I think we understand that. We're going to be studying about that a little bit from John 10 this morning, if you'd like to be turning over there. We, as disciples of Christ, are sheep, and we definitely need shepherds. Jesus has ordained that elders in the local churches fulfill this important role of being shepherds. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said that he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors. And a pastor is just a shepherd. And so Jesus gave pastors or shepherds to the church for a purpose. Obviously, he saw that churches needed shepherds, that they needed pastors. As we think about sort of warm up to this topic this morning, I want to look at what Jesus has to say about himself as the good shepherd and his relationship to the sheep. We learn not only so much about Jesus as the good shepherd and so much about his relationship to us, but I think also a lot about our needs as sheep and why Jesus would compare us to sheep in John chapter 10. So go with me there, and let's notice how that shepherds and sheep have this very special relationship. In John chapter 10, let's read in verse 1. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." The sheep of Jesus know the shepherd. The sheep of any shepherd know the shepherd. They recognize his voice. They are possessed by him. In two verses here, Jesus talks about how he owns the sheep. There's this very special relationship. They are his. He is theirs. And they know one another intimately. They recognize his voice, and they follow him. And the shepherd cares for the sheep because the sheep need care. And the shepherd is willing to give himself all the way to the point of death to care for these sheep that are his own and that he loves and whose welfare he's concerned with. We skip down to verse 11 in this text. And he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So you see this very tender and intimate relationship between shepherd and sheep. You see the fact that the shepherd is going to care for the sheep, and he's going to commit to doing that all the way to giving his entire life for their well-being. This comparison and this explanation of the relationship between shepherds and sheep sets the tone for us understanding elders and their work and the relationship that we as sheep ought to have with elders as our shepherds. Elders must be devoted to the sheep and willing to sacrifice their lives for the well-being of the sheep. But sheep need to know and love and honor and follow their shepherds. All of that is implicit in the reality that not only is Jesus the good shepherd and the shepherd of the sheep, but also that in local congregations, Jesus has ordained that we have those that the Bible calls shepherds, and that we honor them and follow them and know them the way sheep ought to follow shepherds. So elders have been appointed in churches as what we might call subordinate shepherds. They are not Jesus. They're fallible men, but they are shepherds nonetheless of local flocks serving under the chief shepherd. And this concept is beautifully put forth by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn over there and notice with me, starting in verse 1, the Apostle Peter says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." This passage contains a lot of interesting information about shepherds in a congregation. One of the things that we see is that shepherds are to shepherd the flock of God that is among them. We also see that shepherds and elders and bishops or overseers are the same thing in this passage. You have Peter addressing the elders, verse 1. He tells them to shepherd the flock in verse 2. And then he tells them to serve as overseers, also in verse 2. And the word overseers comes from the Greek episkopos, and it is translated overseer, but also sometimes is translated bishop, same word. So all of those words refer to this function, those who are leaders, those who are, by reason of qualification, of spiritual maturity, elders, shepherds, and overseers. But the main thing I want you to notice, and the reason we went to this text at this time, was to say, yeah, we have a chief shepherd. We have the good shepherd that Jesus is describing himself in John chapter 10. But in local congregations, we have shepherds who are answerable to the chief shepherd. But they nonetheless are shepherds of that local congregation. And that makes the local congregation their flock. And a flock will have certain responsibilities and obligations to those shepherds. But the main thing is, right now, the flock needs those shepherds, just like sheep need shepherds. The shepherds of a local flock, the elders, they don't have authority to legislate from above. That authority was given to apostles, not to elders in a local church. But they do have oversight. They do have overseeing authority, as we notice in this passage. And you see that elsewhere as well. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the apostle Paul there is talking to a group of elders who were the shepherds of the church at Ephesus. And he says in Acts 20 and 28, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." And so again, you have in this passage, Acts 20:17 refers to these men as elders. Here they're called shepherds, or they're told to shepherd, and they're told to oversee. These are their responsibilities. The flock that is among them is their flock to take care of, the flock that is among them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have the qualifications of elders laid out by Paul in this passage. And he says in verse 1 that this is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So here again we see the responsibility of a shepherd. He takes care of the church of God, which is the flock of God. there is be a plurality of shepherds over each local flock. One individual can't do it. It takes a plurality of good men meeting certain qualifications ordained by the Spirit to be able to shepherd the flock. And so, in the New Testament, we see them being appointed. Paul and Barnabas, we're familiar with the text in Acts 14 and verse 23, when they go back to churches that they planted, and they appointed elders in every church, it says, and they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, the evangelist Titus is told that Paul left him in Crete, that he should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. Churches needed elders because shepherds need sheep, or sheep need shepherds, I should say. And so you see that implied in these passages. So we read of churches that are organized and functioning with this plurality of elders. In Acts 15 and verse 4, a problem arises and it has to do with the Jews requiring circumcision for Christians. And so Paul and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem. And it says in Acts 15 and verse 4, they came to Jerusalem, and they were received by the church with the apostles and elders, this plurality of shepherds. And again in Acts 20 and verse 17, Paul sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus when he was in Miletus. In Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy are bondservants of Jesus Christ, and they write, it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So this just lays some groundwork for understanding the need of local churches to have shepherds, and something about what the function of those shepherds is. I think we can see some of that, at least in these passages that we've looked at. What we as a flock need to understand is that without shepherds, we're very likely to be directionless and vulnerable. See, elders have this unique place of leadership. Oversee, to tend, to guide, to protect, to provide for. And without them, flock is just missing a really important component. They become easily vulnerable to the attacks of Satan, to the ways of the world that surround the flock. Merely being a flock does not provide enough protection and guidance. If you look at the natural world, there are a lot of animals that flock, or in the case of fish, school in big bunches. And they do that for a modicum of protection. That's the purpose. They're trying to be protected from, you know, bigger predators. And it serves them, but it's not ideal. Because, you know, what flocks of birds, you ever heard the term bird brain? You know, birds aren't all that bright. And so, while just being in a big flock offers some protection, what they really need is somebody maybe who can do the thinking for them, you know, when the hawk comes or whatever it is, who can really get them in the best position, or who can actually defend them from some other bird of prey or some other animal, or from the net of a fowler or whatever it might be. The thing about shepherds is, sheep in a flock, but that in itself offers a little bit of protection just by reason of the fact that they're flocking together, that there's a big group. But it's not nearly as effective as having shepherds who can protect them and lead them in the right way and help provide for their needs. Merely being a flock doesn't really provide enough protection. It doesn't give really any guidance. And it does not ensure adequate provision and nourishment. Psalm 23, a familiar Lord is my shepherd song. The Lord is my shepherd. Sheep talking, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I've got a shepherd who's going to provide for me. What does he do? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I'm a sheep. I may not know where the green pastures are. I may not know where the still waters are. And if I do, I may not know how to get from here to there. I need a shepherd for that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. I get lost sometimes. I need a shepherd to bring me back. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He shows me the right way to go. I don't have to guess. Because I've got a shepherd that's showing me. A sheep may not seek water on its own or move to greener pastures. It may, out of fear, not want to venture beyond what it feels is safe. Or on the other hand, it might get a false sense of security. You know, I'm in this church, I'm in this flock, and so everything's okay. It may not realize it's in a dangerous area. So what that tells us is that the opinion of the majority of the flock by itself is not really worth much, is it? You know, there are a lot of churches and even some with elders that I think their idea is, well, if everybody thinks this is what needs to be done, that's what we're going to do. Because that's got to be the right way to go, right? Because everybody thinks that. You know, if everybody in the flock, you know, is thinking that we need to run off a cliff, I think there would be a lot of sheep that just do that. The flock needs guidance to know where to go. The flock needs guidance to know where to go. Elders are to ensure that the sheep move in the right direction. Elders, shepherds, as we've already talked about, know the sheep. We saw this when we read in John chapter 10. A shepherd has the trust of the sheep. They know him and he knows them. Someone that the flock doesn't recognize, someone the flock doesn't know, they aren't going to follow him for that reason. Jesus says they don't know the voice of strangers. So shepherds in a local flock, they need to know the flock, but the flock needs to know them as well. There's a mutual trust that must be developed and engendered between the shepherds and the sheep. Some sheep are going to wander away from time to time. If the shepherds know the flock, they probably know which sheep those are going to be. They can probably, you know, keep a special eye out and give some special attention to those sheep that are prone to wander off. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus, again using the shepherd and sheep illustration, says in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" There's this knowledge of sheep, and there's a knowledge and a concern of one who's gone astray, of one that's gotten lost, and the shepherd will go and seek that sheep and bring it back and give it the special attention it needs. You know, in the real world, I suppose, a sheep might wander away from the flock and eventually it might find its way back. Maybe. But a good shepherd will facilitate that and make it happen more readily. Shepherds care for the sheep. We saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, didn't we? The man doesn't know how to care for his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? A shepherd is to take care of the church of God. And so in many ways, shepherd in a local flock will deal with the sheep as with a family and care for them as he would a family. A shepherd will show the sheep how to live spiritual lives in a carnal world. He'll lead according to the needs of the sheep and make sure that the needs of the sheep from a spiritual standpoint are being met. And many times, the needs of the sheep will supersede his own needs. One of the great things about the Good Shepherd, and you can see this in John 10, Jesus' description of himself as the Good Shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. He's willing to give up anything for his sheep. And good shepherds of a local congregation, I know our shepherds here give up a lot of their evenings and a lot of their free time and a lot of prayer time and a lot of other things that they give of themselves very freely for the welfare of the flock. So as the shepherds take care of the flock in this loving way and they lead them into greener pastures and they help them to find water that refreshes their souls and they help them to find what they need to restore themselves, to restore their souls when they're lost. The flock needs a lot of care. Besides all that we mentioned right there, it needs protection from wolves that might come in. The flock needs a lot of care. And we often talk, when we talk about elders, we talk about the care that they're supposed to give the flock and what their role is. But this morning, sort of in the last few minutes of the lesson, I'd really like us to focus on our responsibility as sheep to those shepherds. I think there's a broad issue here that not just a few, but many of us have, can I say, a problem with. We haven't come to appreciate our shepherds. We don't rely on their care enough. We understand that, you know, as the church as a collective, yeah, they're kind of overseeing things. But we don't realize the concern that they have for each of us as individual sheep. And I think a lot of times we really don't comprehend what our responsibility is to follow their lead on an individual level. Elders, shepherds, they watch for the sheep as stewards of God. Titus 1:7, a bishop is a steward of God. They've been given oversight of local congregations. They're working to take care of these souls, to give them back to God one day. And they watch for the sheep. They protect them from false prophets and false teachers and from dangers even among the flock itself. They protect from predators, as King David long ago told Saul about how he protected his flock from predators. And that's needful because sheep without shepherds are truly in great danger. Matthew 9 and verse 36, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Sheep need shepherds. Jesus saw that. He had compassion on people because they were like sheep without shepherds. But what's the difference, friends, between being sheep without shepherds and sheep that won't follow their shepherds? What's the difference? Hardly think there is one. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. We're being attacked individually and collectively by the forces of Satan, wolves, sheep. Have someone appointed by the Lord Himself to protect us, to help us, to guide us in our struggles. These experienced shepherds, used to fighting the enemy, have a lot of help they can give us, a lot of guidance they can share, a lot of wisdom. That's why God has put shepherds over the sheep. There are two thoughts I want us to leave with this morning. Really just scriptures. Sheep need shepherds. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. This morning, let's think about our shepherds here. Let's realize that these are men who've been qualified by the Holy Spirit. Their wisdom, their guidance, their counsel, their concern should never be disregarded or cast aside as if it were meaningless. Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive. And watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. That would be unprofitable to you. Let me go back and emphasize this one more time. Is an elder inspired by God? No. Does their wisdom and guidance necessarily always carry the weight of a man of God? No. They're put there for a reason. They're wiser than we are. Stronger than we are. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Shout for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. I'd ask us all to seriously contemplate the things we've studied this morning as we work together here at Eastside and have a good eldership. And let's make and take full advantage of that. Not only collectively, but individually in our lives. The great thing this morning as we conclude is that we have a great shepherd, the good shepherd, who wants not only to help us in this life and lead us through life, but lead us ultimately to his Father. And we need to follow him. We need to own him as our God, as our Savior. And this morning, if you're ready to do that, we'd be thrilled to help you obey the gospel and name Jesus as your Savior, as your guide. Turning away from sin, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Why not now? While we stand, while we sing.